Tonight, James plays a lot of games. Mike triumphantly rides back into town and kicks Jeff's nuts straight back up to the frosty north. And Kate gets deported.
Hey, this is James from survivalpunk.com.
And this is Couch Potato Cheesehead from I Lost My Skills and My Will to Live Because It Always Snows Up Here and I'm Out of Alcohol.com.
Welcome back, Couch Potato Mike.
Yes, it's glad to be back. Now I know that I have to be here or you'll just start outsourcing me to fucking Minnesota and fucking England.
Yeah. Thanks again to Kate that did the Top Gear opening last week.
She deported my ass. I was not happy about that.
I sent the things to do, so that was me that deported you. Or that was Donald Trump.
Mutiny!
You damn Mexican.
Fucking traitors.
What I really thought about doing was, next time you miss an episode, literally go on, like, Fiverr and hire an Indian to be like, Couch Potato Mike will not make it today.
This is Couch Potato Raji.
Yeah. Carpet Potato Raji.
Oh, you're going to hell.
Oh, man.
This is Carpet Potato Raji.
Have a hamburger, my friend.
Oh, no!
Yeah,
I'll be right there in hell next year.
The Survival Punk Podcast, the most racist podcast on the internet. No, not really.
We're not even 2 minutes in yet. We've already fucking mocked the English and the fucking Indians.
And Wisconsin's.
Oh, good.
Wisconsinites.
Wisconsin's are, they're barely human.
That's, it's weird how most of our audience is either like Michigan, Wisconsin, or Texas. And then, like, I think fourth place will be California. And then Tennessee's in there somewhere.
And then we move overseas.
Yeah, we've got a significant amount of people across the pond.
I love that fact that we have fans in the UK.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
That is fucking awesome.
I'm going to spend, like, my entire life savings to get Jeremy Clarkson to do the Top Gear intro when you're not here and be like, suck it, Cast Potato Mike.
I'm sorry, but I'd have to bow out for that one.
Yeah.
I'd be like, no, you got Jeremy Clarkson to do it? Oh, no, fuck that, yeah. Hell, I'd want him to do it while I was on the show.
Yeah. And I do my own opening that Mike does that I do better.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so, welcome back. It's been, what, just 1 week?
Just one week this time.
You're off like a month, then came back for an episode, then we're off for an episode, and then now you're back.
Yeah. That's because we have horrible scheduling conflicts. Basically, we have one day that we could do this all day on Saturday, but when me and you get together on Saturdays, we just like hanging out.
Yeah.
We like watching TV. We like going to go do stuff. We like eating cheat food.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing about doing a podcast with your best friend. When you get together with your best friend, work is kind of like, you know, not a natural instinct. You kind of have to make that happen because, yeah. I mean, damn it. You're my bro.
That is true. I think I had something to talk about on the banter, but I don't remember what it was. So, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
We're getting off to a rip-roaring good start.
Yeah. The Survival Punk Challenge, I forgot to announce it in the group. So it's going to keep running, and I'll let it run until the next week. So the new Survival Punk Challenge, and we need to add this, I guess, to the board. The new Survival Punk Challenge.
Survival Punk Challenge.
Yes. It gets announced on the podcast. If you won the previous week's podcast, or the previous week's Survival Punk Challenge that... your entry needs to get put into the Survival Punks group on Facebook, we'll announce you. So had you won last week's challenge, which no one did yet, right now I'd be like, congratulations to Joe Blow. You won the Survival Punk Challenge with your blah, 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 blah. The challenge, in case you're wondering, happens to be to DIY a piece of survival gear. So yeah,
that seems simple enough. Pretty broad spectrum.
Pretty broad spectrum. Yeah. I've already got the next one planned, and it's going to be to get a food from nature, which is also pretty broad, and I like that.
Now, anybody who does DIY their own survival gear, even if you don't win, your picture will make it up somewhere on the site.
Yeah. That you'll be in the group, so make sure you join the group so you can enter to win.
And what do you win if you win the Survival Punk Challenge?
A shout-out on the next podcast.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, we'll begin with the winner, and we'll end the show with the new challenge. So we'll end this episode by reiterating that you have to DIY a piece of survival gear. Of course, I myself will be participating, but not eligible to win, because that would be stupid.
You are the shout-out on the podcast.
Yes, I begin every show with the shout-out to me.
Yeah, no. And as the weeks go by, things will start getting a bit more specific. But we like to start painting with a broad stroke. Get everybody, like, psyched about doing this.
Yeah, if it gets too specific, you get sort of a drop-off rate where it's like, people are like, you know, like that one guy in the room was clapping. He's like, I totally get that joke. Yeah, that's for me. And that's the only guy that gets it. So you're painting broad strokes and you get more people to play. And that's kind of the goal here, to get better at our skills broadly.
You know, and so Alton Brown, I was listening to his podcast, and he occasionally would do this. He'd send stuff out on, like, Twitter. Mm-hmm. Like this one episode, he got people to... He tweeted out, hey, what are some weird food combinations, weird taste and flavor combinations that you like? Send them to me and I'll try some of them.
Yeah.
That's how I discovered that apparently grape jelly and like sharp cheddar cheese are really, really good together.
Mind-boggling.
Yeah, no, and I've actually tried sharp cheddar cheese with grape jelly because of that. They are somehow, they're like two great tastes that taste great together. They make a weird Reese's cup, but still...
I have heard it's either almond butter or peanut butter on a hamburger is actually amazing.
Believe it or not, there's some people out there that actually like Nutella on a hamburger.
I actually am a fan of Nutella myself.
I know you're a fan of Nutella. It fucks with my head so bad.
Yeah.
I you know, I've never actually tried it. I'm just against it in concept.
Yeah, I'd never known about it growing up. So when I started doing cheat days a few years ago, I'm like, I've never had Nutella. So I tried it. I'm like, that's actually pretty good. Because I like hazelnuts, and I like chocolate on occasion. The hazelnuts kind of balance out the chocolatiness.
I think it's because I'm not a big hazelnut fan.
Yeah.
Like hazelnuts, my least favorite flavoring in a coffee.
That just tastes like chemical poo-poo to me, though.
Poo-poo.
Like, actual hazelnuts, I like. But not so much, like,
not so much
hazelnut flavoring. 7 minutes, we're fucking wasting time. What do we got coming up today on the show?
On the show today, we're going to be talking about disaster entertainment. How to entertain yourself in a disaster, whether you're bugging in or bugging out. Disaster entertainment.
Yes, and some of you may be thinking, didn't you guys do this episode already? Yeah, like 100 episodes ago.
Yeah, like what was that, 2 years ago?
Yeah. Yeah, probably 2 years ago.
We're revisiting an oldie but a guildie. I mean, goddammit, you people are lucky, and all the time that we've been doing this, we haven't had a clip show yet.
Yeah. Oh, we could. Yeah. So, listener Matt called in with a question about what to do for entertainment and disaster for you, and if many of you have children, you know, like, this is actually a very big burning concern for you, is that, and... Yeah, you'll be busy during a disaster, pretty much any disaster, but there will also be lots of time where you're not busy. And, you know, you can't watch Netflix. So what do you do? And so basically, one, the audio 2 years ago sucked.
Yeah.
We have had a few different ideas on entertainment, obviously, in the past few years.
Mm-hmm.
And
now we have our palatial podcasting studio.
Yeah. And, you know, obviously... Matt, who is a big fan of the show and has listened to a lot of the podcasts, probably hasn't gone back 100 episodes into the past. Probably not. There were some real stinkers back then.
Oh my God, Matt, sitting at home with a tear now streaming down his cheek, listening to this, going, What do you mean I didn't? I have them all on 8-track.
Oh, that would be awesome. If you put Survival Punk, I'm going to do that, actually. I want to put our podcast on 8-track.
Oh, my. How?
There's got to be, like, a digital to 8-track conversion thing.
Oh, my God.
Now I just need a bitchin'-ass Trans Am to, like, hell, put the 8-track yeah. deck in.
Oh, God, yeah. Fucking Smokey and the Bandit car.
Oh, my God. If I could find pictures of these guys, if I can ever find pictures, I will share them in the Survival Punks group. But when I was, like, when I was young, under probably, you know, 7, 8, somewhere in there, I had the most bitching long rat tail ever.
Oh, God, really?
Yes!
No, dude!
Dude, it was so long, it came around my shoulder, and I could put it in my mouth.
Oh, you sick fuck!
Trademark of the South in the 80s is you had to have a rat tail.
The hell you did. I never had a rat tail. I always thought it looked stupid.
You fucking weirdo. Yeah, I had one.
I also grew up saying soda.
Soda.
Yeah, no. I'm like a throwback to the North.
North. Yeah, I'm South as it gets. I've always called them Cokes, and I had the rat tail, and
okay, you know, it was really horrible on the interview that I was doing right afterwards. They're like, we really enjoyed listening to your accent. I'm like, I have an accent?
Oh, yeah.
I must have been slipping into Southern, because I was talking to two Yankees. That's the thing. They're, like, both from, like, Pennsylvania and New York.
Yeah. Hold on. During, I think it was Christmas time when I went to my mom's house.
Christmas
she was, like, trying to say that I have an accent, and... Maybe some of you guys can detect that I have a Southern accent. I've never noticed that I ever have an accent, and I've gotten lots of comments on me not having an accent.
Great. Now I'm very consciously, deliberately listening to you talk.
And my mom tried to say that she didn't have an accent, and me and my stepdad, Ken, were both like, yeah, you have a deep Southern accent. She's like, no, I don't. And we're like, yeah, you do. She's like, fine then. I got my accent from my mom. And we both busted out laughing because... My grandmother literally was born and raised in the UK, came over during World War II when she met my grandfather, who was a soldier.
Oh, wow.
So she always had the British accent. And it's like, you obviously did not get a Southern accent from your mom.
A lot of, like, vocal or speech anthropologists or whatever believe that the Southern accent, like, this is how – that's pretty much how the Brits sounded.
Yeah, which
but,
is
you know,
an interesting
the isolation from each other, like you isolate any you cut any one portion of a species off from another part, it's going to develop differently to the point where the DNA is different, which is why people look the way they do.
Yes, which is a burning passion of mine, and I can't ever find. It's still a debated thing. Like if you look in linguistic history and stuff, you can't find anyone that agrees on the answer or a definitive answer. And I was wondering one day, I was like, when did the American colonists lose their accent? Because it's like, you know, was it just out of hatred? Because there's a lot of things that the American colonists refused to do out of hatred from England.
Which now a lot of those, you know, professional types believe that the British didn't develop their accents until after the American colonists left.
Yes, and we speak more the way that the English did before that. So the American accent is more of how they spoke before, you know, they lost the colonies.
Well, I honestly think, and it might not sound like it to the untrained ear, but the American Southern accents sound more like British accents than the rest of the American accents do. I mean, there's definitely a correlation. Like, British that can't do American accents can do a Southern accent. It's easier for them. It just somehow comes more natural. Like Jeremy Clarkson. He can't talk like an American except when he's doing a fake Southern accent.
I have noticed that a lot of times when trying to fake an accent, they either come off completely plain. Hello, this is James.
Actually, more than that, like fucking Hugh Laurie doing House when he's all talking like this. Which is how fucking Benedict Cumberbatch talks in Doctor Strange.
Yeah.
Which is how the fucking dude that played Mr. Fantastic in the first two Fantastic Four movies kind of talked.
And his accent is so great. The greatest show ever wrote for TV is called Forever with that guy whose name I forget.
Yeah,
he was in the first two Fantastic Four movies.
Great British accent. Actually, yeah. I like hearing him talk in British. Hugh Laurie, too, but no, they fucking... And it's this weird, like, genericized American accent that they try to do.
Yeah.
Where it always comes off talking like that.
Or it's Southern. Or they
actually,
do
I damn near
one.
Slipped into Castiel from Supernatural just then. Hey, yeah. Ass butt.
Yeah. For entertainment and disaster,
like Ewan McGregor.
If you have backup power and a DVD player, like a portable DVD player, you could watch these shows.
Oh my god.
Ah,
That would be great.
Yes. Oh, let's get on with the podcast.
Yeah, we're damn near 15 minutes in and we're still on the banter.
Yeah.
This is what happens when we don't use the board.
Yeah, so first of all, let's talk about bugging in. Because with bugging in, obviously it's probably what's more likely going to happen. Okay, so a disaster, you know, that forces you to bug out, probably unlikely. Most people don't have to bug out. Disasters cause you to bug in, i.e. like the power goes out, which is pretty common.
Oh, especially around here. You know, it's funny. We had a power flicker the other night.
I assumed so because my heater went off.
Yes, but like not 50 miles from here, they were out with that same power flicker. They were without power for like 6 hours.
Yeah, I've noticed that the power tends to flicker off here where we live a lot, but not tend to go off very long.
Actually, I think usually when it flickers like that, it's because they're trying to find where the fucking problem is in the system, so they shut down sections of it and shut it back on. I don't know how they actually do it, but that's what they're doing. They're testing the lines.
Yeah.
And it's in big sections.
So we get that a lot, but not so much the power going off.
Like, oh, this won't inconvenience them, except for the fact that you don't have to reset every digital piece of shit you have.
Yeah, I don't have it. The only thing that affects me really is my heater. It just won't come back on.
Well, that's why I'm glad that my fucking my alarm clock, it's actually got like a 9-volt backup in it that won't power the clock per se. Like if it's not plugged in, that you can't see the readout.
But it keeps it in internal.
It keeps the time checked and it keeps your alarms going.
Oh.
And actually, I found out that somebody used my fucking 9-volt out of it, because when that power flickered, I had to reset my fucking clock.
I've just used my cell phone for so many years. So yeah, if you bug in, you have two options for entertainment. You have powered versus non-powered.
Yep.
Obviously, powered is a bit harder. And if you're bugging out, power is a lot harder. You know, for all of your kids' devices, which, you know, a lot of those things like tablets and handheld gaming devices, they have a very short lifespan.
And a lot of the shit you do on those requires internet.
True. True. Depending on how your internet comes, though, if you have backup power, you could power your internet. I've done that before. Or if you have wireless data, you could tether your data. But yeah, some of the games you can play offline. And, I mean, if your kids are playing the tablet straight, they're probably going to kill them between 2 and 4 hours.
Very quickly.
So you need to either... You really need to have, like, backup batteries, backup energy in store for that. But I don't really think that that's the best option.
No.
It is an option. And then even some of the let's cover power for a second. So not even talking about just your battery, your backup power systems. There are some neat things to do with your backed up power. There are some of the tiny low power projectors, either for your cell phones or attachments for whatnot, to project a screen on your wall, are getting fairly affordable, and they take a small amount of power. Like turning on your TV with your backup power, that's going to take a lot of power.
And there's actually ways out there, which I've seen, and me and my wife have screwed around with a little bit of just very cheaply making your own projector to put your phone in.
Right. There are some that work better, some that work not as better. There's one that I saw on a YouTube video. There's no way I can find it and tell you what it is. But it not only projects, I think, a tablet onto a wall, it makes that projection touch interactable, i.e. you could project it onto a flat table And you can play a two-player game sitting on either side of it.
Oh, that's fucking awesome.
Right. And it you know, it makes it like a... It makes it a very large screen.
Oh.
And that obviously would run off of your tablet. And yes, a tablet does consume a lot of power, but...
Did you ever take that game back, by the way?
What game?
You bought that game and we never could get it to work right because it required a tablet.
No, I forgot. And they marked it down on clearance and then I didn't have the receipt. So if I took it back, I would have got the clearance price. I think I just threw it away.
Yeah, that game.
Yeah, it was junk.
It was good in concept, but that was a pain in the ass.
Yeah, it didn't work, whatever that shit was. So yeah, you know, powering a tablet in that case, you know, if it's going to be a whole screen, yeah, you guys can watch movies and stuff on it, or you can play games with the whole family on it. So yeah, but I really don't feel that, like, powered needs to be your primary plan there. When it's so, well, one, you know, it does tend to sort of segregate the people. Like, the kids want to go off in the rooms. This is when I feel that board games and candles or LED lights of some sort, like the Lumen Noodle or whatnot, they shine. And I love a good board game. And I kind of want to go board game shopping because I like I haven't played any, like, fun board games except for what was that Todd and Maggie brought?
Oh, I don't remember the name of it. Son of a bitch, I don't remember the name of it now.
It was a weird, like, combination of...
It was like Pushing the Envelope. Something in that vein. That wasn't it, though.
Something like that. Push the Envelope? No, Cross the Line? Cross the Line.
Cross the Line. Yeah, that was
Cross the Line, yeah. It was a weird combination of, like, Pictionary and Charades, where you could pick to do either or, but not combine them at the same
time.
And
all the topics were, like...
Naughty.
It's like for dirty. Horrible people.
Yeah. Kind of like Cards Against Humanity, but not.
Well, I mean, one of the clues we had to figure out was Rape Van.
Yes. I drew a van, and Mike was like, Rape Van! Yeah.
And my wife's like, how the fuck did you get that? He draws two squiggly lines, and you're screaming out answers.
Yeah. Or when I tried to draw a bedstand with someone sleeping and a dresser and a nightstand next to it, and Mike's buddy Todd just kept going, dresser, night dresser, bed dresser.
The lamp is on the dresser.
The lamp is on the dresser. No, you motherfucker. If it's wrong the first time.
If it wasn't right the first five times, Todd.
Yeah.
Oh, God. No, that was a great night. We got to see Serenity come out of her shell. I won't go into details because she just turned red when I said her name anyway.
Probably, yeah.
Serenity, you know what you did.
That was a fun game. If you're an adult and you have a bunch of adult roommates, that would probably be a good game to get.
Oh no, that game was the bomb.com.
If you have chitrons, probably not the right game.
No, not at all.
Speaking of adults, though, Cards Against Humanity would definitely be a very fun game to get.
Oh yeah, another game for horrible people, and it says it on the box.
Yes, yes. That would definitely be a good board game to get. Not even a board game, it's a card game, and we'll talk about card games a little bit. I'm fond of a game called Settlers of Catan. The setup usually is a little bit annoying. If you try to change it up, it gets really annoying. If you just follow the directions, like put the squares in there, blah, 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 and set it up according to what it says, it's fun. And you need, at least four people, I think?
Three people minimum. Four people better.
Yeah. And there's like a million expansion packs for that. There's a new game I saw at Walmart that won the German board game award. Because apparently the Germans are fucking board game nerds. Like, it's
really?
It's their culture. Like, they love board games. Like, it's their life. And most of the board games invented come from Germany.
Huh.
You know, except for Monopoly that's invented by bums.
Actually, Monopoly, I think, was invented by a German immigrant.
Oh, there you go. Where was Trump stopping?
And then, like, Parker Brothers or Milton Bradley, whoever the hell makes Monopoly, pretty much stole it.
Yeah, they're like, here, have this cheeseburger and give me your game. Okay, a cheeseburger. That sounds like a good idea.
They didn't give that woman a cheeseburger. They just stole her idea.
Yeah.
Which Monopoly has very interesting, like, origin stories, other than, you know, it was stolen from, like, a German immigrant or whatever. But I don't know. I mean, there, I have met people that are like diehard Monopoly players. I'm actually friends with one of them. And he will play, yeah, Todd, he will play Monopoly at the drop of a hat. I mean, if there's nothing else to do, I like, want to play Monopoly. Hell yes, I want to play Monopoly. But he's one of the only people I know that do. Well, actually, my son, Tony, will play Monopoly at the drop of a hat.
Yeah.
He loves Monopoly.
I grew up loving it, but now I hate it with a passion.
Oh, yeah, I mean, I played it a lot growing up, but I mean, here's the fucked up thing. I own at least, there's at least six different versions of Monopoly in my house. I've actually got a couple of versions that are actually different in gameplay than normal.
One of those is actually more fun.
Monopoly Millionaires, because it's, the point of it is not to bankrupt everybody. It's to be the first person to become a millionaire.
Yeah.
And it's kind of fun, but then again, everybody in the room was beat by my, at the time, six-year-old son.
Yeah.
Who bought one property the whole time and basically exploited the fault of the game. If you don't buy anything and just keep going around the board, eventually you're just going to get enough money and win, which is what he did.
That was also a lot of luck on his part, because a couple of those bad landings could have took him out of the game super quick.
Yeah, I mean, because everybody else was buying property and trying to set up houses and stuff. Basically, he was like rolling the dice. He just kept landing on properties that were not his. They'd go up for auction, somebody else would buy them, and within a few turns, he'd won, though.
Yeah.
I mean, and literally the only prop, ironically, the only property he owned was Boardwalk.
Yeah, and he wouldn't trade, and I don't think your daughter would trade either, and you and me
traded a little bit. Well, you can't play Monopoly without trading.
You can't. It
and really... Oh, God, see, that's one thing I hate. My dad hated playing Monopoly with my mom because she refused to trade. She was a non-trader. You can't play Monopoly without trading. You just can't. That's the bane of a Monopoly player, is playing with that one person that refuses to trade properties. Because that's what makes the game go on forever.
Yes, yes.
I mean, Monopoly has even acknowledged the fact that their games go on forever when they added in the speed die. They have a special die that now comes to the, I think, in standard of the standard game now. I don't know if it comes in every version of it. But it makes the game go quicker. You roll your dice, and then you roll the speed die along with it, and it'll make you skip to the next property that's not owned, or skip to the next property that is owned, or all this shit.
Something to make the game not take forever. Because there's been several games where I'm like, I'm done. I don't. Like, you play for so long, you're like, I don't give a fuck anymore.
Yeah, they have Monopoly tournaments each year, which the speed die is now a mandatory part of. Because those tournaments were taking, like, 10 times longer.
I mean,
I've literally played a game of Monopoly from beginning to end one time that lasted for 7 hours.
Nope. Yeah, I think usually around 4 hours, oh, I'm like, I either, like, get up and leave or I quit. Like, I deliberately make myself, you know, go out.
Todd, my other best friend, my brother, because... He is. I have two brothers, two best friends. I do a podcast with one. I'd probably do a podcast with the other if, you know, I lived in the same state, but that's neither here nor there. Now, he and his stepfather, a guy named Mark, one time spent an entire weekend, 2 days, 2 whole days, morning to night, waking to sleeping, playing Silent Monopoly. Playing Monopoly without ever saying a word. Two people playing Monopoly against each other. And they showed me one time, and I wasn't privy to this, but they showed me one time how you play a game of Silent Monopoly. And they started playing a game of Silent Monopoly, and I'm just sitting there watching them for like 20 minutes playing Silent Monopoly. And then all of a sudden, Todd's mom, God rest her soul, walks in and she's like, oh no, you two assholes aren't doing this shit again. I thought she was going to flip the table. Because apparently that weekend that they had done that had driven her fucking mad. But I mean, Mark, he owned the Monopoly game. I mean, he spent like $300 on this fucking like limited edition hardwood varnished thing with the green felt and like gold and silver plated pieces.
Yeah.
I mean, it was swanky looking, and they were playing Silent Monopoly on it, and it was just, I mean, like, the houses were silver and the fucking houses were silver plated. The hotels were gold plated. I mean, all the pieces were, like, it, you know, very distinct, very unique pieces to that game. It was just, But they cheaped out on the money. The money that was in that game was in every other
standard.
Monopoly. Yeah, standard Monopoly game. I'm like, really? You cheaped out on that? Meanwhile, like, the Monopoly, like, 40th anniversary edition that they also owned had really swanky-looking money in it. I'm like, why don't you just switch the monies from the two games? And Mark was like, because that wouldn't be right. It would be mixing and matching. I'm like, don't you want to make the good set look as good as it possibly can? I mean, it's all Monopoly.
Yeah, that's what I would
The most expensive board game in the world is a Monopoly game designed by a jeweler in Manhattan. I mean,
I've seen that.
The dice were solid gold with, like, diamonds for dots.
Yeah. But anyway, some other
board
games.
I know a lot
games.
About Monopoly.
There's a board game called Blockus. That's pretty fun. We've played that.
Except when your co-host gets pissed off because you've now blocked his every mood and he quits.
Yeah. Trivial Pursuit. I'm always a fan of that in all of its different bazillion versions.
Oh, not all of its different bazillion versions.
I even love the old junky one that was like Genius Edition from like the 60s or something with questions that are completely outdated and are wrong now.
That was so irritating.
It was like, what's the richest company in America? And I'm like, Microsoft. Answer, Standard Oil and Trust.
Oh my god! I bought that one from like McKay's, and I also got the card deck for like the Junior Edition, but it was like from 1982.
Yeah, so what should be easy is hard.
Like the kids knew none of that shit.
Yeah, no.
Oh my god! No, fucking yeah, that was amazing. No, yeah. and Trivia Pursuit is infinitely customizable too. I mean, because now they're selling just the whole, you know, the card decks by themselves and like the Trivia Pursuit. Mm-hmm. I've got a Doctor Who version.
I have Doctor Who version,
which can be played by itself or can be played as part of a standard Trivial Pursuit game.
Yeah,
you can just use the normal board and pieces and play it that way.
You can try the knockoff Trivia Crack, the physical board game, if it's in stock at the moment, and it's not bad. It's pretty fun.
No, that is actually pretty fun. Me and your girlfriend and my son were playing the hell out of the game, losing horribly to Tony. God, I decided I never wanted to play that game with Tony again. He just kept kicking our asses at it.
I actually want to play a Trivia Pursuit game with him. That would be fun.
No, my son is like, he's like this little evil genius. I love him to death. He is just so smart. Makes his daddy proud.
That'd be fun. Yeah. Let's see. Other board games. There are a few, and I have not really played any of them, but there are a few like prepper survival board games out there. There's one I saw at Walmart right now that's, I think, called like Virus Outbreak or something, where it's like the world gets infected by a virus, and it looks pretty fun, so I get some money up. I might buy that and do a review and have some fun with that. Other favorite board games. Mike, board games. What are you?
I don't know. I don't play games.
That's a lie.
You can't go wrong with, like, the oldest board game either. Chess.
Oh,
or checkers.
Ouija. Yeah.
Ouija's not a fucking game.
It is a game.
That's just a way of trying to fucking freak your friends out. Like, oh my god, a ghost's moving the thing. Meanwhile, you're fucking moving the thing around going, you are a douche.
Yeah.
No, fuck Ouija. I'm talking about like chess and checkers, the classics. I mean,
yes.
My daughter will play checkers all day long.
I don't like checkers, but I do love chess. I'm not good at chess, but I enjoy chess.
Oh god.
Unless you play with a dumb bastard idiot. I can beat a lot of people of, you know, lesser skill level. You know, I know the moves. I can play fairly well. I can think things through. My brother David only understands the moves. He only knows how the pieces move. He makes no future strategies. He makes no plans. He's completely chaotic. You can't predict his moves because he doesn't have any predictable moves. He just makes it up on the fly.
Yeah.
And I can't beat him.
Well, you can't pre-plan for somebody that has no plan. Oh, I'm sure Todd could wipe the floor with him. He is insane at chess.
I'm sure a really high level chess player could beat him.
Probably in three moves.
I have a hard time beating anybody that makes any sense. And even with that, some of the high-end players, you know, they have the, like, they're static. Like they're like, I'll open with this classic opener, and I will move to this secondary piece. You know, it's like they're moving like that. He makes no sense. It's hard to even plot and plan against someone like that.
You know, and under the right circumstances, chess can be a party game. I used to have, and I wish I still did, but I mean, it doesn't really matter anymore because I never have anybody to play it with. I used to have an entire chess set that was entirely made out of shot glasses.
Oh yeah,
at drinking chess. And remember that one vacation at the hotel? Me and you were playing drinking chess. Todd was waiting, you know, in the wings because he'd already like mopped Gabriel's grill.
Oh yeah,
and it was funny because you're like drunk. I mean, and you're like, you know, I don't want to do this anymore. And then I'm like, Todd, finish this game. He's like, what the? I mean, he fucking turned into Rocco from fucking. From fucking Boondock Saints. Because he could not figure out what the hell you'd been doing. He's like, I don't know. I mean, he only has one of these, and he has none of these. And how the fuck did you lose all your pawns? And, I mean, he's just fucking completely baffled. It was the one game of chess that I ever beat him in. It's because you had sabotaged it so horribly before.
Nice. Right now, I thought of something that might be fun as a party game. If you have at least four people. And two chess boards. If you set up two chess boards next to each other,
mm-hmm.
and you have four people, so two people on one side, two people on the other side, and everybody makes their first move, then everybody shifts clockwise.
Oh, God.
And you win the game by being the one that takes the king for your board, regardless of what color you started with.
You know, and I actually saw this one version. God, I wish I'd bought it when I fucking had the chance, because I've never seen it again. This, I mean, of course, then again, I'd find hell trying to find anybody to play the damn thing with. It was four people. It was four person chess.
Did they come in from the sides?
Yes. It was like this big. Okay, you had the standard board, but then the board also branched out in an X pattern where everybody started from, and you all move in toward the center.
Fuck a duck.
Yeah.
That would be a clusterfuck.
You had four different fucking colors going on, all moving, and it is a four-way battle. But like I said, I'd play hell trying to find three people to play that with at any given time. I mean, my wife wouldn't want to play.
I'd play like a motherfucker.
I know you'd play. You looking it up?
Yeah. Oh, there's a bunch of them. Oh, that's nice. Oh, that's 190.
Oh, they're three-person chess. That one. You see that one in the hexagonal board?
That one there, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it's not even squares.
No,
some of the middle ones are weird diamonds.
No, because, I mean, you have to make them all meet. Is that a round one? Three-person circular. Oh, God.
Fuck that,
you wouldn't even know. How the hell would the fucking knights move?
In a C shape, maybe?
Oh, my. Yeah, that.
Yeah, so. So it exists. Maybe we can find one and play it. That would be fucked up. Yeah.
And if you have kids like I do, I mean, you want to make sure you don't just have, like, chess or Monopoly. Like, how
37 minutes in?
Holy shit, dude. We're just on board games. You want to make sure that they have, you know, like, easier games, like checkers, like fucking Connect
Shoots
Four.
And Ladders and Candyland. I
hate Shoots and Ladders. It's nothing but
Break
luck.
The Ice and Hungry Hungry Hippos and...
Mousetrap.
Oh, you know what? You know what game I really want to play? Like, really, I've been thinking about a lot lately? Battleship.
Oh, God, yeah. I recently saw an old episode. Well, actually, I'm not even sure how old. I saw fucking Hammond and May playing Battleship with Cars.
That was on the Grand Tour, I think.
Oh, that was on the Grand Tour?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That was not an old. That was new.
Well, I've been watching a lot of old ones, and it all melds together in my head. Yeah. I can't remember what color May's hair was in that scene.
Yeah.
Or what Hammond's facial hair looked like. But let's move on, because we have spent a lot of time on board games.
Yeah, board games, and you can find a lot of them cheap, like used on the internet, at yard sales, may or may not have all the pieces, but, you know, check into that. So, RPG games, It's going to take some investment. It's going to take some time.
Not even necessarily. I mean, if you want to play some of the honest, you know, the ones that everybody knows, like Dungeons and Dragons, shit like that. Yeah, that's going to take some investment. You're going to have to go out and buy the fucking dice, and you're going to have to study up and all this shit and blah, 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 blah. Yeah, that, but I mean, with a clever mind, like, I'm sure one of us could just make up shit on the spot.
Right.
Like, I mean, I fucking studied a little bit about how to be a dungeon master, and I'm pretty sure I could just sit there and make up adventures for the entire fucking room.
Yeah, yeah. And
without having to follow strict rules. I mean, which is the whole point.
I kind of want to find, like, the easiest, quickest to set up. Like at this point, I kind of want to get, like, a Dungeons & Dragons quick start guide where you pull out the pages and it's like, this is your fucking character. Just take it. And just change the name. But everything else is just yours. And then, like, a quick campaign overview.
We spent 2 hours making our characters and never did play.
I know. That annoyed me, too, because it took too long. That's why I'm going to probably find a quick start guide. Cam, shout out, on the Starpunks group, posted he's playing something called Pathfinders, which is kind of like Dungeons & Dragons. I don't know if it's quicker to set up or not, but I've heard a lot of people say it's fun. RPGs. And they're that like Warhammer 40K, it's a whole realm of these, Hero Clicks is something that's like it's a Marvel RPG and you have these little things. And I heard that's supposed to be a super lot of fun.
I don't even know anything about those games. I've seen the game pieces like Salt, like the Great Escape and other places like that.
Yeah.
But I have no idea what the hell the game's for.
Maybe we should watch a YouTube video on it or something.
I'm sure my kids already have.
I'm sure
they've watched, like, I checked this morning, they've watched 78% of the videos on YouTube.
Yeah. That's a lot.
And I mean this morning.
Yeah, yeah. We actually watched one of the same channels, and that's the King of Random. He's doing some dumb shit recently. He does some good build and, like, experiment videos, but he's making, like, casting Pokeballs out of wax and shit, and I'm like...
What the fuck?
Making slime and, like, putting slime in a vacuum container.
Yeah,
and...
no, when I finally get my income tax, I'm going to get a fucking laptop. I'm going to get the stuff where I can capture the fucking video of the laptop and, like, me fucking doing it. And I'm going to start fucking playing games and putting videos up because, I mean, that's where the fucking YouTube money is, goddammit. I am going to become, like, fucking Markiplier and PewDiePie and the Game Grumps. I am going to start doing that because... God damn it. Millions of people watch those. And when millions of people watch a video, YouTube starts paying you for it. And God damn it. I want to be a fucking YouTube millionaire.
Yeah.
I want to quit my job and do nothing but film myself like YouTube and get shit tons of money. I mean, they are like massive celebrities that a good portion of the population couldn't pick them out of a lineup. Like PewDiePie, richest man on fucking YouTube. I mean... He is. He's the richest YouTuber.
Yeah.
From YouTube. I'm James, strictly from YouTube. Makes more money than anybody else on YouTube doing YouTube. I could pass him on the street and not even know who the hell he is.
I may could recognize him.
Of course, we're living in the day and age of niche celebrities. But then again, I'm getting off the fucking point here.
Yeah. Card games. So besides just regular cards, like all the games you can play with that, which
oh
is
God,
a
you
ton.
Can play so many games with just a standard deck of cards. Hell, you could. Hell, if you've got nothing but a deck of Ouija cards, you could just. I mean, not Ouija cards. What are those things called? Tarot cards.
Tarot cards.
You could actually take some of the cards out. You know, like Death and the Jester and the Hanged Man. You know, take those weird cards out, and you could play regular card games with those. That's how the standard deck of cards came from tarot cards.
You want to hear a funny story?
What's that?
I once owned a deck of the Aleister Crowley brand tarot cards.
Oh, wow.
That I bought from a South African voodoo practitioner in a crack hotel.
You're playing with fire there, dude.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I do not do crack, but this guy probably needed a hit, so he sold me his tarot deck. I have no idea where it went.
This deck's killed 23 people, man.
Probably. It was a sweet deck, too.
I've owned a handful of fucking tarot decks. I mean, they're just... Some of them, especially if the art's done nicely on them, I mean, they're like... They can be quite beautiful.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't read someone's tarot, and I never even tried.
Right.
I just like owning the tarot. Some things, I just like owning.
Right. I, which is why I like to just have one. Oh, I've seen those.
They were left at my house by somebody. I think they were left at my house by...
Not a South African voodoo priest.
No, I think it was one of my wife's cousins.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, I know exactly who left them there, but I don't want to say who it is.
Okay. Yeah, so besides those, there are, apparently it got so cold in here that my heater just kicked on, and I had set it down really low, but it is supposed to be pretty cold today.
You know, it's pretty nipply out there. No, I had frost all over one of my windows.
I had to defrost my car for a while. So besides just those card games, which is, you know, you should have a deck or two. I've got a few, I think, laying around. There are things like Munchkins, which I've heard is a lot of fun.
What the fuck is Munchkins?
It's just a card game. Like, it's a card game. People really like it. We mentioned Cards Against Humanity. That definitely needs to be in there, especially if you've got more than just kids or, like, older kids. You know, late teenagers. I am a fan of some of the, like, the Yu-Gi-Oh!, the Magic the Gathering, You can really get into it and spend a whole lot of money, or you can just get, like, starter decks and just have them and, like, read the rules and just play simple, fun games.
Oh, God, my nephew, he is major, major into Yu-Gi-Oh! Yeah. And my nephew, and he's done got Tony into it.
Yeah.
And they both, and Tony was already majorly into Pokemon cards.
Right.
So, I mean, and all of those games, I mean, if you're into that sort of thing, can be really fun. Back in the day, Todd, he was, like, huge into Magic the Gathering. Yeah. I mean, he still has Magic the Gathering decks and still plays them every now and then. Very, very... Of course, he is, like, this insane, like, tactician strategist. Right. I kind of... Todd, if you're listening, I love you, bro, but sometimes I really hate playing games with any game that requires any kind of strategy, because it's like Napoleon going up against a toddler when I play against him. Yeah. I mean, yes, you're the same height. The toddler might even be a little bit taller, but he's still not a military strategist.
No.
So after this, you want to play Risk?
Todd's not around, and...
We don't own a Risk game.
We own a Risk game, yeah. So yeah, bastard. If you play Risk and three of the people playing against you all team up on you and one of them is a master strategician, yeah, you're going to lose.
That was the only game of Risk I ever won because I beat Todd.
Yeah.
Somehow he fucked up. I don't know how he fucked up because that was the only game of Risk I ever seen him lose.
I went down swinging.
Oh, yeah.
I took some of Todd's people with him. And then when...
yeah, I think that's what
it was. The three of y'all left. Todd was kind of weakened. And I think maybe you and that girl went against him, and then you beat him and then beat her?
Actually, no, after you were out of the game, she got put out next.
Yeah.
And that was the thing. And what I think the only reason I beat Todd is because it was the three of us versus you, essentially.
Right.
And you kept attacking Todd because he was the strongest.
The strongest person, yeah.
So you had weakened his forces, and then all of a sudden... She started attacking Todd because she was dating me at the time, and she thought we'd team up on her, and then Todd put her out of the game, and by then, he'd had everybody else in the game hardcore attacking against him while he'd been on allies, so his forces were weakened, so I just turned around and bitch slapped him out of the game.
Yeah.
Because I had like three times the troops he did.
Yeah. Oh man, I shared this fake news story. I'm pretty sure it's fake, but I don't care because it was so funny. The headline was: Man arrested for slapping 25 bitches. I'm tired of bitches. Too funny not to share. I'm like,
oh my God.
Damn, his pimp hand is long.
I'm
strong.
Tired of bitches.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Mental games. We've talked about this.
Yeah. That used to be mine and your thing.
Yeah, you just come up with like little mental games, like the what would you do in this situation, which is not so much like a game, but it is. It occupies your time. It's definitely entertainment for a disaster.
Yeah, you don't have to have card one, pencil one, paper one, anything, board, none of that, to play a fucking good game. Like, I mean, like, one of the big group games that we used to do required none of that. It was basically like alphabet.
The alphabet, yeah.
Yeah, what we would do, we would go around naming a fictional character that began with a certain letter. Then the next person would have to name a fictional character whose name began with the next letter. until somebody got stumped, and that's how they got put out of the game. I mean, in a few trips to the alphabet, you start running out of people.
Yeah.
Like, how many people do you know begin with X?
Ant-Man?
Ashley J. Williams. Well, no, that's about, you're like Ant-Man.
Yes.
Oh, okay, so I'm like Bolt, the dog.
Catman?
Let's see, Danger Mouse.
Eric the Viking from True Blood. Yeah, so that's it, basically. And that's one version of the game, whereas Mike was sort of trying another game where you start with a letter and you go through until someone's stumped. So we would just start with, say, A or whatever, and we would go through it, and someone's like, I can't think of any fictional character in any fictional universe whose name has an A in it. Usually we allow first name, last name, or, like, share rules. Like, if your character, like, Daredevil, obviously would be usable for Daredevil, but also Matt Murdock.
Exactly.
So, you know.
And we customized that. We did actual celebrities. I mean,
we did real life people of, like, history and stuff. And that was a bit harder, but fun.
Uh-huh. I mean, just shit like that.
And there was another game we played where it was, like, the Versus game. And this is, like, super old
school. Oh, my
here.
God. That was, like, the first. I think that was, like, the first game that we actually invented.
Right.
And that was back. This is going back to the foundation of our friendship when we were homeless living in a Ford Escort. And basically, we would take two fictional characters. One of us would pick a fictional character, and then the other one. Remember, for a while, we played this on our other podcast.
We did, yeah.
And the other one would pick, you know, somebody suitable for them to fight. But then, every now and then, you'd have an asshole where you'd throw out Wicket J. Warwick, the Ewok. And then your fucking friend would be like Conan the Barbarian.
Which would be a disaster.
On the simple fact that they dressed alike.
Yes. There's funny nuances, you know, and like, so one time one of us picked Galactus, Destroyer of Worlds.
You picked Galactus and I picked Ego, the Living Planet.
To which we may have called Stan Steele.
Actually, I think you barely conceded victory on that just to keep the game going.
Yeah.
Like the planet devourer versus the living planet.
Yeah,
the planet that could fight back.
Clusterfuck, yeah.
Just all sorts of weird shit like that. I mean, it's just so fun.
Yeah, I mean,
and we would keep ourselves entertained. I mean, because we were living in a car. This
right.
was an age before smartphones.
I'm thinking about redoing the first episode, i.e., the survival lessons learned from being homeless. Because that was, A, an atrocity of an episode, and B, was definitely the worst audio quality of all the podcasts, probably.
We did it in my kitchen, didn't we?
Yeah.
We did it in my
after, like, I think several tries.
Room. We did it in my oh, God. That was, like, our third or fourth attempt at making a podcast.
Yeah, and it was bad. So, mental games, yeah, you don't, obviously, we had no utilities when we were homeless, and this kept us occupied many hours. And, you know, there's no reason that it can't keep you entertained.
Mm-hmm. Now let's move on. Let me see. How much time have we got?
We're at an hour.
Basically. Holy shit. So let's... bugging out, you're basically going to want to make shit portable.
Yeah, obviously, you're not going to bug out with Monopoly. If you're bugging out in a vehicle to a bug-out location, bringing a few board games with you or caching those board games at your bug-out location is very doable. Otherwise, you're going to want to have smaller, lighter, portable games.
Now, a lot of games like Battleship, like Connect Four, they make travel versions of those.
They do. Good point. I know a lot of the times people will say just throw a deck of cards in your bug out bag because one you can play solitaire.
Yeah, is good. Plus, I mean, a deck of cards can actually has a bunch of different uses too. You can use a deck of cards. I mean, hell, gets down to it, you could start a fire with them.
Yeah.
I mean, you wouldn't want to do that.
My God. If you train well enough, you can throw a deck of cards and like puncture a small animal's like jugular.
That'd be a lot of training.
It would be. I mean, if you can embed one in a watermelon, surely you can take off a squirrel's head. Yeah. Or there's also decks of cards that have, like, useful information and or titties. And titties are useful in an apocalypse.
Like the permaculture cards that we used to have.
Yeah.
They're on the bottom down there. I mean, you still have them, but, you know, we used to read them on the show every week.
Not mentioned in the bug in, although it will work for bug in as well as bug out. Conflicted, the card game. Any of their mini decks available, I think they're on like 7 or 8 now.
Yeah, which can be a standard deck of cards or, I mean, can be a mental game where you have to think about it.
Right, yeah. The new deck, at least, I don't know how many
deck
of the new
seven,
ones.
Deck 7, Financial Collapse.
Yeah, this Financial Collapse deck is an actual deck of cards. Like it has...
Yeah, the first Conflicted game we had was not a deck of cards.
No, and it is also down there.
I mean, it was a deck of cards, but it wasn't a deck of playing cards.
Yeah, and
this
they have,
is a deck of playing cards, and like, I love that.
This this Jack of Hearts here has economic collapse happens, but so far, in time, countries have recovered. Given your current preparations, how long could you weather a severe economic collapse and maintain your lifestyle? And, you know, you'd have to like, give your answers on this. Well, I can go much longer than that. but yeah, you give your answer, and then we learned after reading
you
the
live,
rules properly that the person whom reads the card does not answer and picks the winner, much like Cards Against Humanity. Unlike how we were playing it, where you would have to vote as a group, and that never works
ever
because no one ever wants to vote against themselves.
Nope.
But when you have the person that reads the card pick the winner, probably all problems are solved there.
Absolutely.
So yeah, we mentioned that using powered games while bugging out is really hard. You have to have on the go power, which is usually either like thermoelectric, so like the power pot which I have, or a like solar power, which I also have. But even that, to use that power, so on the go, power, in a disaster scenario, power gets to be pretty precious. On the go, power gets to be super precious. Mm-hmm. And I don't feel that wasting it on games is the best use of your power. If you've got a child freaking out and you let them play their Flappy Bird for a few minutes, and I know Flappy Bird is probably like 7 games again, and kids are like, oh, that's so old, Father. I can't believe you're trying to make me play Flappy Birds. Now we're on Flip Floppity Dobbity Birds.
Okay, so let's update this a little bit. If your kid's freaking out and you have Minecraft on your phone.
Yeah, which should be a super power-hungry thing.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Matt French, if you ever want to, like, send your kids off and, like, lose them for a few days, there is an open source free version of Minecraft VR on Android. Yes. The kids can go into the Minecraft world. And they will not want to leave. It's not real Minecraft. It's like Worldcraft or something, but you can find it in the VR section.
I imagine the graphics are pretty damn cool. Close.
Oh, yeah. No, because, yeah, the graphics suck anyway. The graphics are damn near 8-bit as it is.
I know, but they suck on purpose.
They do.
I mean, the graphics are out there, and they could make the graphics look spectacular, but no, the whole point of Minecraft is everything is cubes.
Yeah, holy fuck, dude. Could you imagine a VR world that looked as lifelike as the most lifelike game that you could craft and create? Like, you could be God in that game?
Oh, God. I think about that kind of shit all the time.
Yeah, VR is intriguing.
Basically, we're talking about a holodeck.
Yes.
I want a holodeck.
I was watching Doctor Strange on my VR cardboard the other day, and man, did that look amazing. But that's not entertainment for bugging out. That's definitely entertainment for the grid is up, my friends.
All right.
Real quick. Audiobooks.
Oh, yeah.
Could be played on the go or at home, and the amount of energy it takes to play an audiobook is pretty minuscule.
Oh, and one other thing, books in general.
Yes.
Books in general. I love books. I mean, I'm holding a book right now, and I mean, especially, and this worked, I've actually done this a couple of times when the power's been out for several hours, and we had to wind up cooking on a Coleman camp stove. I mean, just really, like, pull out our fucking survival, you know, skills.
Good point. Books.
But I gathered all the kids, and I only had three kids in the house at the time, but I gathered the kids around, sat them in the living room, and I sat in a chair, and I just started reading to them. I mean, and I'm, okay, if you know me, you know I like doing voices. So basically, I can try to bring a book to life. Like, for example, see. Yes, Dumbledore said Dumbledore. He'll have that scar for life. Couldn't you do something about it, Dumbledore? Even if I could, I wouldn't. Scars can come in handy. I have one myself above my left knee that is a perfect map of the London Underground. Could I say goodbye to him, sir? Asked Hagrid. I'm just skipping around. But yeah, no. I've read Star Trek novels because I've actually brought Fiona watching Star Trek The Next Generation. I've read Star Trek novels. Excellent. Because I'll sit there. Captain, the Klingons are attacking.
Yeah.
You are a Klingon. Oh, shit. I'm on the wrong ship.
Yeah. Yeah, so obviously for bugging in, bugging out, it gets a little bit... I mean, if you have a favorite novel and it's like a small pocket paperback edition, mm-hmm. Yeah, by all means, you know.
Which is only... I only buy paperbacks. I mean, there's no... I mean, yes, if you've got a beautiful mahogany bookcase and you want to fill it with leather-bound tomes to, you know,
I have many
really
leather-bound tomes. I have one. I have one leather-bound
tome. I have many leather-bound tomes. Well, I have one. Well, it's pleather.
Yeah.
Well, it's just printed on there.
No, that might be leather. The Douglas Adams collection, it's leather and gold leaf and has like the silky thing in the middle.
I have many leather-bound books in my apartment smells of rich mahogany. Yes.
And I have a signed copy of Make Love the Bruce Campbell Way. Pretty awesome. So yeah, books pretty awesome. Comic books. You could read through your collection of The Walking Dead to learn how to react if a crazy governor tries to kill you.
Magazines.
I have those too.
And plus, with magazines and stuff like that, they also have that, you know, eventual secondary final use
to burn and wipe your ass with.
Exactly.
Same thing with cheap novels. Cheap paperback novels you can get from, like, bookstores.
Oh, God.
Yeah, look, paper, toilet paper.
Like, find a place, okay, like, in Nashville, there's a place called McKay's, and they might have something like this out where you live.
Probably,
it's
yeah.
Basically it's a giant warehouse type deal where they sell used books and VHSs and CDs and DVDs,
comics
and Blu-rays,
and
comics.
Video games,
I mean,
cell phones, tablets. Exactly.
I mean, it's just, the place sells nothing but good used stuff. I mean, you could go in there and buy books. I mean, my wife has bought, like, Dean Koontz novels for 10 cents.
Yes, yes. Some of the used paperbacks are stupid cheap.
I one time went in there, and I shit you not, I bought, get a little bit, 15 Star Trek novels for $1. Because I got some of them for 5 cents.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it was psychotic. And plus, I mean, the extra good thing about McKay's, outside, because people bring in used stuff to sell to them. And the stuff that they usually don't sell, people will just dump in these four bins that they have outside, the free bins.
Yeah.
And you could just get free stuff out there. And I've actually found some pretty cool stuff out there.
Hold on. I think not the last time, but the time before the last time when we went in that free book outside, we found a how-to guide for fathering written by...
Bill Cosby! You know, back when he was a wholesome family figure.
And not the rapist we know him at. Yeah, so...
I mean, realistically, he was the rapist back then.
He
just
was always the rapist.
Nobody
yeah.
had come out about it yet.
Yeah. That's the secret ingredient to the Jell-O pudding snacks, my friends.
Oh, my God. It's so fucking funny. Like, on this other show I listen to, Hollywood Babylon, they have this segment that they do every now and then called The Creepy Clown, where basically the host, Ralph Garman, he does impressions of celebrities, and occasionally people send in, could you do... And basically what it is, he goes, do-do-do-do-do-do-do, in different celebrity voices. And people used to like to get him to do the fucking Bill Cosby... back before the whole rapist thing was, because and shit like that. And then he's like, we haven't done a creepy clown in a while. I certainly haven't done the Bill Cosby one, because that's a whole new level of creepy these days.
Yeah.
Because now it ends up like, can I get a fix your drink? Because it used to be like, end with a bit of pudding pop.
Yeah, let me fix your drink. Yeah. So thanks, Matt, for your question that you called in with. I may remember to play it at the beginning so people can hear it.
It's like, hey, guys, what's up? This is Matt from Oklahoma.
Oklahoma, not Wisconsin.
Yes. It's been a while since I had a question. Listen to question call in. What the fuck? Is this from your...
Google Translate. Okay. Yeah, Google voicemail.
I don't know if that's because all the questions suck and therefore all your listeners suck, or nobody's just called in, so my question is entertainment. There is a disaster.
They're in a disaster.
You know that and something that the majority of this do not consider as part of our preps, but those of us with children know that we have to fill the entertainer kids, and also you have to be able to entertain yourself, or you could go crazy or crazier for some of us, yeah. I just want to get your input on entertainment for the apocalypse. And no, I'm not talking about shooting people and stuff like that. So bye. Let me find the hang up button. Okay, now bye for real this time.
While you were reading that, I kind of daydreamed off about the old Flash cartoon series Strong Bad emails, and I'm like, Matt needs to write in with a question that's like, guys, will you make a song about me? And I'll be like,
I will never, ever, 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 ever write a song about Maddie.
I will never, ever, ever write a song about Matt. I say, the Matt is there. The Matt is there. Give me a siren, Mike. Everybody to their limit, and the Matt is to their limit for the Maddie Matt.
Did you say siren?
I said, give me a siren. Wee-wee-wee-wee-wee-wee-wee-wee-wee. The system is down. The system is down. The system is down. Oh, Matt, you've got a song.
Oh.
Strong Bad emails. Those were the best. And then the guy went on to make Yo Gabba Gabba.
He really did. Well, one of the guys. I don't know what the other one did, but it was like...
He's homeless in a box now.
Yeah. But I mean, I can kind of see where they're coming... Strong Bad needs to show up on Yo Gabba Gabba to justify that. I don't know. Are they still making that show?
Fuck if I know.
Yeah, who cares?
Yeah,
Strong Bad became Yo Gabba Gabba.
I guess real quick, the item of the day before we wrap this thing up. So I've been looking for a pair of minimalist, zero-drop shoes that are not a fortune. So my CrossFit Nano 3s that I had were amazing, the best comfortable thing ever.
They have holes in them.
They're falling apart now. They have holes in them.
You wore the hell out of them.
I wore the hell out of them for, like, you know, several years. But they're like $150, so I can't go buy a new pair because I'm poor. So on Amazon, I found a pair of shoes from a place called Tesla. Tesla shoes. And they're $30, which is pretty affordable for a pair of sneakers. They are zero drop. They are flexible.
What do you mean zero drop?
So the heel to the toe isn't angled.
Okay.
There's usually like degrees of drop from heel to toe, like, you know, 10 degree drop, 50 degree, you know, like.
Oh, whereas, so like, flat, you know,
yeah, flat, yeah, which okay. Is, you know, what I like in a shoe.
You mean like Chucks?
Like Chucks, like my CrossFit ones. The closer to, you know, flat foot, the closer to zero drop I can get, the better. I'm still out on these. The CrossFit Nanos. At, you know, what, three times the cost, are definitely more comfortable.
I mean, they do say you get what you pay for.
You do get what you pay for. So I'm kind of demanding on these. Like, I'm on, you know, a concrete floor for, you know, 7-8 hours a night, moving around constantly, doing, like, you know, what, 20,000 steps a night. I'm a little more demanding. Like, these are made for, like, you know, trail running. So you go run, you come home, not necessarily, you know, 8 hours of manual labor.
You've done gotten used to having no arch support.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, there's definitely. And there's studies showing that by wearing shoes without an arch support, your own arch develops because your arch goes weak when it's resting on something.
Which makes sense.
It makes sense.
It's aggravating.
You develop more of an arch by not having an arch support there to weaken the muscles that form the arch. So, you know. My arch is pretty weak, but I've worked on that over the years. So yeah, by wearing flat foot shoes, I develop an arch. And these shoes could be a bit more padding comfortable, maybe. And I noticed it after like the entire night work, you know, like after I worked that long. And weirdly enough, I have a complaint and not a complaint. So the toe box, so the area where your toes are, is fairly small, like the shoes are kind of narrow. And that's after, like, if you read, and I'll have a link to Amazon so you guys can buy it, and I can make 3.5 pennies. Without, you know, you guys, you can charge more if you buy through Amazon link. So after reading the comments, they even state from the company that due to like feedback from people, order a half size larger. So these are an 11. Mm-hmm. And sure enough, they fit like my normal 10.5. So definitely order size bigger, but I feel like they could be wider. Whereas like on a lot of shoes, my pinky toe will just sort of ram into the side and get irritated and mess my, you know, my toenail up. On these, it sure enough does that.
Feet.
Well, I have a wide splay to my toes.
Yeah, you have duck feet.
And I like that. I want them to be splayed out. And with the CrossFit Nanos, there's plenty of room with the what is it? They renamed it the Primal Professional, but the Chronology shoe. Lots of room for the toes to spread out and wiggle around. And these ones, there's not. But the material is so thin and flexible that it just pushes out the side of the shoe without like hindering my toe. So, yeah, I wish there was more toe room. But
have you ever tried New Balance?
I haven't. And they have a New Balance minimus shoe that has the features I want in it. And it was one of the ones I was looking at, actually.
Well, see, and I know a few things. I used to work in a specialty shoe store that employed Podorthos and stuff. New Balance, I mean, instead of just making normal sizes, they also make like a size 10, but they also have a size 10 skinny, a size 10 wide, a size 10 extra wide, shit like that. Yeah. I mean, they make widths on them to give your foot, I mean, because not everybody's foot's the same thing, so
right.
They make it where to fit anybody. Where you can have as much wiggle room as you want in there.
Right. Yeah, the New Bounce Minimus was the other shoe I was looking at, and it's like in the $70 price range or so.
Yeah, not going to be as much as those CrossFit things.
Right.
But, you know.
About half.
It's still, I mean.
About
it's
half the price, but yeah.
It's a good brand.
Yeah, no.
No, they are a good brand. We used to sell the hell out of the New Balance.
Yeah, that would be another one to look at, guys. And with that, we're going to skip the Nutrition Punk.
Oh, what was the Nutrition Punk?
The Paleo Biscuits and Gravy that I made last week.
They were weird. But edible.
Weird, but edible.
Yeah. Well, they tasted like almond and coconut.
They were almond and coconut.
Well, there you go.
I liked them.
I didn't say I hated them. I just said they were weird.
Yeah.
They were, I mean, I'm like, well, it, okay. I'll be honest. When I'm like, I got you biscuits and gravy. My mind automatically then downloads, like pulls all the files on biscuits and gravy and inserts them in there. Here's what you should be expecting. And then I'm like, okay, he gave me a coconut biscuit with meat sauce. Albeit the meat sauce is very tasty, but it tastes like coconut.
Yeah. The gravy was coconut milk and coconut flour and arrowroot powder and sausage. I mean, just regular sausage.
I mean, and it tasted good, but I didn't consider it as gravy as it should be. It was, okay, there's certain ratio of gravy to meat to gravy, and yours was, like, insanely heavy on the meat. So it was more like a meat sauce.
Yeah, it was. It was a
whole... I didn't say it tasted bad, though. It was actually good. I devoured everything.
You did.
The plate was clean when I was done with it.
Yeah.
And you know me, if I don't like something...
I don't like it.
Never to make me hummus again.
Paleo hummus. That was not real hummus.
Well, whatever it was, I just did not... And I was already in a bad mood. I'm like, James serves me this crap, and you're like, oh, thanks. Yeah. And I still feel bad about that. I'm sorry, bro.
Oh, brah, brah. Yeah. Me and your wife ate all of it, so.
No, I mean, like, hey, I ate the biscuits and gravy. I just had to get over the fact that it was not, you know, normal biscuits and gravy, and then I'm, like, fine with it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So on that not-so-terrible disappointment, I think it might be time to end.
Yes.
So for the Survival Punk Podcast, This is the real, the one, the only, the true Couch Potato Mike.
This is James Siglin Burnett.
And remember, in a survival situation, it's okay to play with yourself.
Don't forget to join the Survival Punk Army and DIY to be an asshole to your friend while playing Cards Against Humanities. Use guys.
Use guys!
Oh, you're so much better at that than Couch Potato Cheesehead.
Of course I am. I admit it.